You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Follow the mystery. The Orphans, new episodes every Monday, exclusively at OneOfUs.net.
About one of the fish getting cancer, then it would have been called finding chemo. Or maybe, okay, all right, so it's what they need to do is find a washed up old 80s action star played by Fred Ward called Finding Remo, right?
Well, that
no,
you know, honestly,
wait,
I think
it's the missing Jackson brothers underwater. It's Finding Tito.
What can I say? I forgot.
I was just gonna say it might as well be Finding Chemo because, you know, Pixar is like known for tugging on the heartstrings, but in this film, they're throttling those heartstrings. They're like, you're gonna fucking love this little fish. Look how adorable she is.
No, honestly, I think you're right. Like,
I wanted sushi more than ever.
They looked it up and they went, this isn't sad enough.
No, I think you're right, because like anybody who studies any kind of graphic design or character design knows how to manipulate the human psyche. They're like, we're going to make these eyes as big as her body when she's little.
Mm. When she was little, her eyes were like, yeah, you were like, clearly you've got that Marty Feldman disease, you know? I don't know what it is, but that thing where his eyes are just popping like crazy, like, oh, dude, stop looking at me, you're freaking me out.
I kind of have the opposite reaction when a movie's like going that far, because I didn't really have the same reaction to Up that most people did. Because, yeah, I saw the...
Because you were like, fuck old people.
Well, because I saw Baby Dory with the huge eyes and her squeaky voice. I'm just like, oh, come on. That's my reaction.
Yeah, it's a toy just waiting to be sold.
Well,
yeah.
And then the beginning of the movie where you see her get lost. They really...
That was a little sad.
I was expecting to see her get put out on a street corner. Yeah. What happened here?
I did find that sadder than the opening of Up to me.
To me, that was the saddest opening, not sadder than Up, but only because I can relate to Up better because I am not a fish. So it's like, I'm not going to be like, I'm lost in the ocean.
If she had a miscarriage, and then that would be
Oh, Jesus. I mean, the way they keep dealing with real world issues, like couched in, you know, whatever version story, you know, metaphor.
She was turning tricks like, as a teenager. That was weird.
Yeah, but here, this is clearly like, this felt to me like the afterthought of a discussion that happened when they were making Inside Out. Because that was clearly, we need to bring in a team of psychologists and talk to them about like how the human mind works and all this. And along the way, there was probably a digression about dealing with mentally disabled.
Exactly. And they were like, let's save
that for another movie. Because this movie is what, I mean, it's not, we're not just talking about just Dory, who clearly has, you know, like no short-term memory. Like, okay, so she has severe form of Asperger's or something like that.
Is.
But there's a lot of characters in this movie are clearly representative of the mentally disabled and about how, like, you can live with them and function with them. You're like, God, this, you know, okay, that's nice and all, but it's also kind of like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, saccharine? Obvious?
Well, I think what you're getting to is not the point.
Yeah.
Like, when you see something in a movie like that, it should be the icing on that cake, not the entire cake.
But that seems like the entire cake.
Yeah.
For this,
It should be kind of like, I remember reading a story specifically about one kid who was either autistic or had Asperger's, and he related to the character of Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy. And that, like, wasn't the point of Drax, but that's what it was. And that's why it worked.
And you make a good point, because it's like, even, you know, if you have a movie like Inside Out, where it expressly is trying to say, here's a way to deal with emotions. At the core of Inside Out, it was a funny movie that moved fast.
Yeah.
This is a slow movie.
You thought so?
I thought it dragged.
I thought it moved at a moderate clip, but it just didn't have enough punch up. Like, there needed to be more spots where you're just laughing, not you're considering. Like, you know, they made this into a dramedy rather than a comedy with some drama elements. This is a straight up drama. I'm sorry.
Yeah, until the third act.
Until the third act, then it goes off the deep end.
It really has a lot of fun. But
by then you're already so depressed. You're like, well, fuck. You're getting wet wipes thrown at your head.
The story starts off with Dory suddenly remembering, oh, I have parents.
Yeah.
And I have no idea who or where they are. So I'm going to go find said
parents. See, I felt like it moved fast because it's kind of the polar opposite in the first movie in that Nemo gets lost and you spend the bulk of the movie him trying to cross the ocean to find Nemo. In this one, the first thing they do is hop on a turtle's back and then, boom, they're...
I think part of it is that, like, along the way of Nemo, you're constantly being introduced to and actually spending time with new characters.
Yeah, that's true.
Here, it's like, not till the third act
needed, so
that you
true.
Really get to know anybody new and they adds anything to the previous film.
Yeah.
But let me go back to the plot here before we go any further. So she convinces Nemo and Marlin, you know, come with me, I need your help, because I'll forget along the way what I'm even doing unless I'm someone there to remind me.
Nemo, you're my only hope.
And all she remembers is something about the jewel of Morro Bay, California, and, you know, despite all reason, they find their way to where that is, which is a marine observatory, which the, you know, the whole second half of the film pretty much takes place in.
Mm-hmm. They go to Morro.
As they get separated, where Dory is stuck inside of the place itself, and with the help of a octopus, voiced by Ed O'Neill, being moved from room to room looking for where her parents are inside there. And then Nemo and Marlin are on the outside and getting help from two seals voiced at the high point of this whole film, as far as I'm concerned, by Idris Elba and Dominic West, who are just, too funny and probably a little too mean. They're clearly severely retarded.
That's what they wanted to bring up.
They wanted their cake and they wanted to eat it, too. They were like...
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier how they're, like, a lot of the mentally disabled are represented in...
Yeah, in various and sundry ways.
Yeah. But they make them look like the most doofiest, like, characters in the film. And you're supposed to... It's clear that you're supposed to laugh at them. And it's like, is that a good representation of mental illness?
I wouldn't even...
It's funny, but it's
laughing, but it's never, like, at their expense either.
Yeah.
You know? They're, like, the laughing, but then they also end up being helpful. You know, because you learn how they're useful and how they're whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they can push the carts in the mines, you know. And
Wow. Well, I mean, I think, you know, I feel like it's representative of where we are right now.
Because,
like, 10 years ago, they didn't care that Dory couldn't remember. And now we have an entire movie about it. It was just a gag.
Yeah. But this was like, and now it's like... It's so depressing throughout this movie. It's not funny. In the first film, it's just funny.
Yeah.
And now it's like, God, you fucking assholes. You never even asked yourself once during Finding Nemo, should I be laughing at this? Well, the answer is no, you shouldn't be. And now we have this, well, we've thought about making direct-to-DVD, but then we're like, oh, money. Sequel, Finding Dory.
But here's this retarded seal. Laugh at him.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to call it. 15 years from now, like, they're going to be entire think pieces written about how that one seal was horrible. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, because that's how fast things are changing these days. Mm-hmm.
Like, probably sooner than that.
Maybe tomorrow.
As soon as this movie comes out.
Right there, it's like we are in the middle of such transition and nobody... I mean, it might... I have a feeling the pendulum is actually going to swing back towards moderation.
Sure.
People going, calm the fuck down, which is probably we're right at the point where it needs to swing back.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, there's a lot of new characters in here later on. We've got Ty Burrell as a beluga whale, which there's a whole bit where he's basically Daredevil with his senses.
What was Ty Burrell from?
Seeing Jennifer Garner.
He's the dad on Modern Family.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I'm sorry.
I thought it was Chris Parnell the entire time, and it wasn't until like Martin. For whatever reason, every time I hear Ty Burrell or Chris, it's like, oh, it's the same person.
Because he's the better version of Chris Parnell. Parnell 5.0.
He's the handsome version.
Oh, Chris Parnell, man.
On Archer?
Archer, but you can't give him credit for Archer.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, he's great. He's
great. Really funny on that show. And
Cyril.
Caitlin Olsen plays Destiny, a whale shark that turns out to be Dory's childhood friend.
Hello,
friend. And then there's lots of other, like, roles that are in here small. Like the parents of Diane Keaton and Eugene Levy that honestly are given terribly anything to do here. Kate McKinnon, Bill Hader, Sigourney Weaver playing the voice of herself.
Thank you,
which is a running joke that was funny the first time, but then they do it like
They hammer it home.
It's a couple of times.
It becomes funny because they did it so much. It's sort of that Family Guy. You've told it long enough to where it's funny now.
And then, of course, John Ratzenberger is something. I don't know. It just says Bill. I'm not sure who that was.
He's in everything.
Was Bill Hader in this? Because I thought he
was. Yeah, he was one of the...
Okay.
He's strange in that.
He's Neo.
He should have a more, like... He's got a recognizable voice, but it's weird. If I don't see his face doing it, I can't, like, picture him. Because, it took a couple of minutes to be like, whose voice is that? Why don't I... And then... Somewhere along the line it hit me, but I was like,
I feel like the most distinctive new characters are really the octopus, who is given some funny stuff to do, and visually, they do some really funny stuff.
Yeah, they're just showing off. Yeah.
It's, visually, looks it's great. Amazing.
Yeah, the octopus looks amazing. The stuff they do with it, while unrealistic, is really cool looking.
Yeah, yeah.
And his whole camouflage thing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the seals, who were just like, I mean, come on, it's the two guys from The Wire together again. What the fuck?
See, that's
awesome.
I really wanted there to be like a little thing off in the distance of a seal with a rose just sitting on a rock.
Why a seal with a rose?
Kiss my rose, seal.
I see. Didn't you...
back onto the freeway for this review.
You didn't have enough seal from a pop star?
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, he dies from wolves.
Well, good. hey, you read about how he treated Heidi Klum. He might deserve what he got. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know any of that, so I'm not even getting involved.
We're not going to go. We're going to just... Sorry, I pulled this interview to the side to do a Kiss from a Rose joke. I guess, is my name Bo?
He's like, it wasn't me. It was Johnny Depp the whole time.
Well, you know! Sorry.
Yeah. No, we're not going there. I don't know. Like, I don't dislike this movie.
It just exists.
I think, was it Elliot? You said it's workmanlike.
It's workmanlike.
And it is. It's workmanlike, but that's not necessarily bad. It's just at the same time, we definitely expect more from Pixar.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's definitely a thing. Like, there's enough Pixar movies now to where it's time to stop immediately labeling any Pixar movie that comes out as just, like, fucking amazing. Like, it's time to, like...
Be more selective.
Be more selective.
I thought Inside Out was that movie for the first one for a while, where it was like, God damn, that was great.
You weren't a fan of Cars 2?
Huh? Oh, shit. No, we're not. Except John Lasseter for reasons no one understands.
It makes a lot of money.
But this is like, next, not even counting the Cars films, because those feel like everybody just left the building and John Lasseter just did it himself,
Yeah. He's like, fuck it, I'll do it myself.
But this is probably my least favorite Pixar film, but that being said is like still like, but it's cute,
But excluding Cars and all that.
Well, like I said, not including Cars.
Okay, so it's your least favorite of the good ones.
I barely even count those as Pixar films. Yeah. I don't care. They don't exist. We have decided they're not canon.
So the non-paycheck movies.
Yeah, exactly.
I think JC hit on it. They have so many movies now. I feel like they're not hungry anymore.
Yeah.
And you can always tell when a creator is just like, I'm not... They may be into it. They may enjoy what they're due, but there's not that desperation to get their message out.
They're hungry for more bucks.
Yeah. Like,
putting butts in seats of people who don't care. They just want movies their kids will respond to.
They're screaming children.
Yeah. Well, it's like...
you didn't get hit with a handful of red ones in the head.
Hey, I will say this.
I did.
I got to commend Chris. Like, me and Chris may not see eye to eye, but that man kept his fucking cool when anybody else would have been like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You threw fucking wet wipes on me.
Yeah.
And you
probably
like,
used wet wipes.
Here's the thing.
Riddled with disease.
If I'm dead next week, don't be surprised. Find that woman. Call CSI or whoever does that sort of thing. I don't know.
The thing you don't know is the family that did that to you was right next to you when you were sitting out there. But I was like, I don't want Chris to hurt them. So I'm not.
I have no idea what they even look like.
Oh, I did. Because I looked behind me when we walked out just to see who it was. And the bad thing is that little boy, he had like a very distinctive brown mark all over his shirt.
Ugh.
So I was just like...
All right, so like I said, if I'm dead in a week, we all know what happened.
So bleach. Just bleach.
Sue the hell out of the Metropolitan Theater is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. No. How far up the chain can we go till we find someone that has money? Sue Pixar!
I mean, you
put it towards the site.
I'm going to argue once again for this, and I know that I always get people go, no, it's like, you're not thinking about it because you had your own infant child. There is no reason an infant child should be allowed in any movie theater ever.
Unless it's an Alamo, they have a screening specifically for children.
Yeah, they have the toddlers, the children day, which is, I think, Tuesdays or whatever.
Yeah, it's like Tuesday morning.
They have it set up for people like, okay, you have your kid, here's your dad.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, but no other time. Because infants, they can't see the screen. They are biologically incapable of focusing on it. They have no idea they're watching a movie, nor will their memories be there of like, I don't know, I just remember something that was fun. And
I saw Shakes.
No, they can't even remember that.
Yeah,
no,
I don't remember
they
any
movie. They won't remember that.
The first movie I remember seeing in the theater was Lion King. And I was like 9. Yeah. You don't remember anything before you're 5.
No, you like they know that for a scientific fact. Not before, you know, some people
like 4 or 3,
but
something
from
like that.
Like 1, 1.5, you can't remember any of that shit. And I don't care what you think you can remember. You probably saw a movie somewhere with some other kid doing
and
something.
And these people, they
just think it happened to you.
These people just need to admit that you just want to go see Finding Dory.
Yeah, you just,
and that's cool.
You just want to not pay a babysitter and go see a movie. And I understand that instinct, but on the other hand, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
But because you're saying, well, because I really need a night out, fuck everybody else.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with like having a night out. Like there's a, but it's like if your baby starts crying 15 minutes into the movie,
take them out,
and cries for the next 10, then take them
like
out.
Like I said, I'm harsher than that. I'm saying it should just be a rule. They're not just not allowed to bring in.
I think if you have a baby that you know that if you have a baby that just goes to sleep and or be quiet,
how do you prove that to the ticket teller?
Not to the ticket teller, but I'm saying like. I feel like once they get into the theater.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is that you can't. There's no control of that. Yeah. You can't. They can't afford to pay ushers at movie theaters anymore. So who's going to tell? They don't, though. You know?
No, that was. I used to kick out a bunch of people, but I tell you what, I never talked to moms of babies because that's a horrible discussion to have.
Yeah, that's why.
Because you're basically telling that mom, you suck.
That's why.
And that's not something that they pay me enough to do.
That's why
stop
they set a
reading.
Rule. That's why you set a rule from the ground. Right there, you're just not allowed in with an infant.
Well, doesn't the Alamo have that?
Yeah, they do, even though some tellers, they just go, whatever, I don't feel like getting in a fight, and they just do it anyway.
Yeah,
there's been a couple incidents recently that apparently have made their way all the way to the top, where they're like, this is bullshit, okay? Part of the deal here, we're paying slightly more because we know we don't have to deal with fucking children.
Yeah, that's the entire bargain with the Alamo.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, sorry. I was on my soapbox. You know,
I think
it's not like the world is going to come to the end with nuclear fire soon when Trump gets elected. I got a bitch about infants and movie theaters.
Hey, man, Chris, I saw a poll, man. 49-42 Clinton. Like, she's doing well.
Yeah, that's not well enough. But anyway, I'm sorry. Let's go with the.
No, this is how boring the movie was that we're not even talking about the movie.
It's just it's just not that interesting. I honestly didn't laugh once until the third act, which does have some fun roller coaster sequences in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a action car action scene,
which is really
good.
Cool.
But you're like explaining that to you, you're like, I have no idea how we're gonna make that happen in a movie about fish.
They sort of jumped the octopus at that point. It's like, everything else up until this point, I could go with you. But an octopus is driving a car.
They jumped the whale shark.
Yeah.
Jumped the whale shark.
Like, they're wearing a leather jacket. It's a whole thing. It's like an A the entire time.
But, you know, ultimately, and this is just going to my final thoughts, it's harmless. It's cute. But this is, like I said before, it's a direct-to-DVD film that they just added another 2 or 3 digital passes to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, it looks better than a direct-to-DVD, but it's written more or less like a direct-to-DVD film.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary, but hey, whatever. If you have to see it with your kids or your nieces and nephews, you're not going to be offended by it or bored out of your mind. You'll just be like, I really hope they don't fall in love with this, so I have to watch it 30 times on Blu-ray.
You'll be sad.
Yeah, I give it like a 5.5 out of 10 delicious plates of sushi.
Oh, that's
JC.
It's more. And tolerable is I just can't think of a better word because it's better than tolerable. It's you'll have a better time watching this than any of the 2 Cars movies.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
And so I think this is kind of on the lower end of the spectrum of Pixar quality. And it's not to say that it isn't terrible because it's not. But the library is so extensive at this point. There are a ton of other movies you'd want to watch yourself. There's a ton of other Pixar movies you'd probably want to put in front of your kid before this one. I don't want to say unnecessary, because, I mean, I think the story of Dory and her family is interesting enough. I don't feel like they put enough effort into executing it. I do think they were kind of hamstrung a little bit, because I think they had constructed the story, and then
Justified?
The Blackfish documentary came out.
Oh.
And they
no orcas in this movie, guys.
Yeah. And so I think the Blackfish documentary kind of screwed them, because like I think that was supposed to be a bigger part of like
go to SeaWorld, like actual SeaWorld.
Oh my god, I think you're right. They probably were just gonna go to SeaWorld.
Yeah, and so I think that kind of hamstrung them a little bit.
And that part where Jamie Lannister let in the Blackfish's nephew and then it just ended the siege.
Sorry,
was that not?
No,
I got confused once again. I thought we were talking about something.
Oh my god, we're gonna have people on Facebook just get angry at us about spoilers.
No, they'll probably get more angry about us getting political for a minute. But anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, a harmless sequel. I could have done without it, but it's not. I don't hate the last couple of hours that I spent watching it. But yeah, I'd give it a 5.5 out of 10. I forget.
5.5 out of 10, I forgets?
Yeah.
That actually works.
That, in this particular case, it does. It's true.
I didn't Armin? Forget. That was actually my score.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. It's okay. I was, you know, I was entertained for forever how long the movie was, hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. Yeah, it's not really a necessary sequel. I wish that effort was put towards The Incredibles 2. We could have got that a little sooner, but it's not, sadly. Yeah, after a while, it's weird. Like, I always thought, you know, Dory, like, oh, Dory's hilarious in Finding Nemo. She's great. I actually really started to find her, like, really annoying after a while. And, like, the repetitive nature of, like, I forgot. Isn't that funny? It's like, not really.
How did you feel?
Huh? Annoyed.
I forgot.
I see what you did there.
I see what you did. But yeah, I think some of the new characters are fun. I think Ed O'Neill as the octopus was a standout for me. He has just that cranky delivery that he excels at. I like, yeah, the seals, obviously Idris Elba is great, and the other guy, I don't remember his name.
Dominic West.
Yeah, Dominic West. But yeah, and also Becky, who doesn't, the bird, who doesn't have a voice actor, but I thought, again, I guess another mentally challenged character that I was spent my time laughing at.
Yeah,
Becky with the feathers.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was still good at what she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. She was in her own unique way, special way.
Push the mind card, Becky.
But yeah, it's...
time to make the donut.
I say it's not really worth seeing the theater. Rent it. I think you'll enjoy it. But yeah, for now, I just give it 6 out of 10 dead-eyed guppies.
Just say welcome to Walmart, Becky. Say. Go ahead, Elliot.
You know, I watch a lot. I think I say this almost every time I see an anime movie. I watch a lot of anime movies, a lot of anime media. And honestly, I expect better from Pixar at this point.
Sure.
Yeah.
They have gotten so up, at least for this movie, because Inside Out was great. This movie, they got so wrapped up in telling this drama about her being lost and really making you feel that desperation and understand where she's coming from. And then, you know, just making you feel everything they can make you feel, that they forgot to add in just those laughs that you need to digest all that. Like, Shakespeare, like he said, hey, you got to have some laughs to digest all this sad stuff. It's like there needs to be an interspersion of laughs.
Beth is hysterical.
Yeah, Shakespeare. Yeah,
they alleviate a lot of that tension with laughs, and it's like they went too far between those. So like, and then this movie. I mean, another flaw is like this movie felt like a side story to Finding Nemo. It felt like there's nothing about this movie that's essential for you to watch, if you see Finding Nemo.
Yeah, a sequel should be bigger than the original.
Yeah.
And this is not. This feels tertiary.
This is a deleted scene. It's not a sequel.
Yeah.
So that's my root of the problem.
Extra feature.
Yeah, it's an extra feature. It's like, hey, you want to know how Dory got here? Here's how Dory got here. It's like I'm playing a 40-hour video game, and they tacked on a 20-hour side mission DLC. And I'm like, okay, well, it's not a new game, but I guess I like this story, so I'll play the rest of it.
Although you probably wouldn't.
No. The animation was great. Really, they were showing off with the octopus, just how well they did that. The message it tries to get forth is actually a very powerful message, in that they say, you know, even if you're disabled, you can make your own contribution in your own way, and it doesn't make you a pejoratively termed special. It doesn't make you bad. It just makes you different. And you are a person with, or you're a fish with a disability. You're not a disabled person, a disabled fish, which is the new distinction. I'm just so disappointed though, because like, honestly at this point, I'm expecting Pixar, with how close John Lasseter is to Hayao Miyazaki, to start moving beyond what they've been doing. I expect them to move beyond Toy Story 3, beyond Incredibles. I expect them to start reaching to Totoro, to Nausicaa, because they are the natural heirs of that. Like, they should be reaching for higher instead of settling for the easy six. They should be going for the 11. And so,
you're right.
I mean, I will give this a six seals with a rose out of 10. But I tell you, if it's just, it's eminently disappointing because they should be hitting the heights of Boy and the Beast and Totoro.
Boy and the Beast.
The one by the guy who did Summer Wars. It just came out on Blu-ray this week.
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good. Like, they should be you can send a message, but you can also make it entertaining, and they didn't do that.
Okay.
It wasn't entertaining until the very end, so that's all my long-winded of saying. I'm just so disappointed.
Well, what is your rating?
Oh, a six.
Rose things.
Seals with a rose out of 10.
There we go.
You know, I just finally found the right rhyme for this movie, like the parody title, because all my other finding whatevers. The more appropriate title is Finding Allegory.
Yes! Yes! That should be the title of the review.